friendship's sweeter. Knowing you're near, it's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Exodus chapter 4, verse 18. Then Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, "Let me go back to my own people in Egypt to see if any of them are still alive." That was Exodus chapter 4, verse 18. O magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, October 28th, 2024. We continue our series through the book of Exodus, and Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church will help us look at Exodus 4, verses 18 through 31. Here's Pastor Jason Epperson.
So we're in Exodus chapter 4. A little background on Exodus. I do this every single week, and for those of you who are here every week with Exodus, this is like our fifth week in the book of Exodus. But one thing about the book of Exodus I want you to know is that the book of Exodus, like why it was written and the reason like we're going to talk about it right now is it's kind of the introduction to who God is. Genesis and Exodus are this introduction to this is who the Father is. This is who he is. This is how he interacts. If you know the whole Bible, in the New Testament, that's the right side of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're called the Gospels. And they're like the introduction to who Jesus is. Well, Jesus is the full representation of God, but before Jesus came to earth, all they knew of God is what they found out in Genesis and Exodus. And then you fast forward into the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit comes down on the day of Pentecost, it's like the introduction to the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And so as you look today, I just want you to know, it's like every interaction that you see Moses have with God is like a new discovery. You know, for us, when we look back on it, if we look through the lens of Jesus, which is the way you should interpret Scripture, by the way, when you look through the lens of Jesus, it's easy to understand it. But imagine being that guy walking on that dirt road or on that rocky path in the desert and something talking to you out of a bush and you're discovering this is who God is. See, in that, we discovered this about God, is God's okay with awkward relationships. Praise Jesus for that. He's okay with awkward relationships. Some of you in this room, when you hear someone pray, you're like, well, I can't pray like that, so I'm not going to pray. Or I don't know God like that, or I don't understand what people say, the Lord said. It's awkward. Fisher High School homecoming. My son went to homecoming, and watching students interact, freshmen in high school interact with other freshmen, let me just say there's a word that describes it. It's the same word I've been talking. It's called awkward. You know, it's like when you look at elementary school and it's like the girl passes, at least for me, all the girls used to pass me notes. No, I'm just messing. No, that's the way I've kind of rewritten history, just so you know. But the reality is when you get past that note and do you like me, circle what, yes or no, or maybe. But the reality is the awkwardness of like young relationship, the awkwardness of that first dance when they like don't know where to put their hands because they don't want to put them in the wrong spots, but they want to put them in the wrong spots. They shouldn't put them in the wrong spots. Like all of those things, like you remember those things. I remember those things. But the truth is within relationships, the more you're with someone, the more time you take and the more willing you are to walk through the awkward, eventually you find the intimate. You guys, Moses in this passage, the way he interacts with God is shockingly awkward. And some of you in this room need to hear me say today, it's okay if you don't know what to say. It's okay. Just say. Here's the crazy thing about God that today is going to come through this passage that I just want you to know is God loved you just as much before you knew his name as he does right now. God loved Moses as he was killing an Egyptian just as much as God loved Moses when he parted the Red Sea. See, God loves you and I in this room. He doesn't love me more than you because my relationship with him is a little bit less awkward maybe. Or maybe it's more awkward. But here's the beauty of it is, if I'm willing to walk through the awkwardness, I'm willing to work through the confusion, I'm willing to just do my best, just love him the best way I can, what happens is it's not that he loves me more, but I discover how much he loves me. And in that, I find peace. So today in this room, whether this is the first time you've ever heard about Jesus or you've been loving Jesus since you were a fetus, like I don't know, like you've been in the church so long you don't even remember what it was like when you weren't in the church. Hear me say this, there's still room for us to grow to discover who he is. And so today, this is what happens with Moses. It's this moment in time. And also remember this, In the church sometimes, like especially those of you who've been around the church for the last 20, 30 years, it's been about your personal relationship with Jesus. We hear it all the time, right? Like it's personal relationship, personal relationship, personal relationship. And then when hard things happen, it's like, well, why is this, what? That's not the, like personally, that sucks. But in this passage, it tells you, yes, you have a personal relationship with God, but the purpose of your relationship with God and the purpose of my relationship with God is to show the world how good God is, even when it's hard and even when it's good. And that's what you're going to find in this passage today. If it was just about Moses, brother could have stayed in the wilderness. But it wasn't just about Moses. It starts this way. Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law. The burning bushes just happened. Remember last week, he puts his hand in, leprous hand in, like God does miracles. He throws the rod down and it turns into a snake. He grabs a snake by the tail, it turns into a rod. Basically, God has said, you need to go before the Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go because I want them out. I've heard my kids cry. Moses has heard the call of God, and after Moses hears the call of God, if you remember, it's like, man, I wish I could hear the call of God. Let me tell you the call of God. Go be my witnesses. That's your call. Go, therefore, make disciples. That's your call. Your call is to love God and to love people. That's your call. There might be more specific ones along the way. In fact, I promise you there will be. But the big one, that's the big one. And it starts this way. So Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law. So Moses had just been told by God this is going to happen. And says, Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, also, do you know that Moses questioned God four times about the calling? And literally he was talking to a bush that was talking. It's okay if you question him. It's okay. That's awkward. I mean, I'm sure God's like, what else am I supposed to do here? Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, please let me go back to my brothers in Egypt to see whether they are still alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. So God calls Moses, but Moses also goes to his leader and gets affirmation from his leader to go. It's a big deal. The first thing is this is when we have a calling in our life, we need to take action in it, but that doesn't mean we should completely rebel against every other rule of authority that we have. He is subject to this man. This man is his leader. He goes to him. Now, here's the other thing I think is very interesting in the church that today is he doesn't come to him playing the ace of spades saying, hey, God told me to say this, and if you don't listen, God's going to smite you. He doesn't even tell him about the calling at this point. Isn't that interesting? He just trusts that the Lord, it's like another moment where God winks at him. Hey, I'm going to take your daughter and all your grandkids, and I'm going to go back to Egypt. And this man's like, go in peace. You think in that moment that Moses saw how Pharaoh would react? We need to talk about this just for a second. So Moses comes to his father-in-law and they're about to go. See, faith also takes action. If faith doesn't take action, it's not faith. It's just a thought. Faith takes action. And the action is he's going. But do you think that he saw how Pharaoh would react when Pharaoh said no? Do you think in this moment, Moses, guess what he didn't see? He didn't see Pharaoh's reaction. You know what else he didn't see? He didn't see the plagues. He didn't see the gnats. He didn't see the boils. He didn't see the blood. He didn't see the frogs. He didn't see those things. You know what Moses didn't see in the beginning of his calling? Moses didn't see in the beginning of his calling how his people would also suffer through these same plagues. Moses didn't see right here not only the reaction to Pharaoh. Moses didn't see that after they get out of Egypt and they get all the good stuff. You with me? Remember, they took care of them as they left, so they had property, they had resources, they had food. Moses didn't see as they're marching out, all of a sudden the Egyptians changed their mind. Moses didn't see an army surrounding him ready to destroy a nation. Moses didn't see that at this point. Moses didn't see when he lifted this staff of God in the air and the Red Sea parting in this moment. He didn't know the Red Sea was going to part. God didn't tell him that. Literally, God said, just throw the rod down, it'll turn into a snake. That's not near as big a deal as the Red Sea parting. Like Moses didn't see those things. Moses didn't see that when he crossed into the wilderness, that he would go up on this mount and the day of Pentecost would happen and the Ten Commandments would come down. Moses didn't know that. He didn't see that. Moses didn't see when he tapped a rock and water came out of it. Moses didn't see cloud by day, fire by night. Moses didn't see they didn't have to go hunting for food. God woke him up every morning with breakfast on the table. Moses didn't see it. Moses didn't see when they went into Canaan. Moses did not see when they crossed into the promised land. Like Moses couldn't see any of those. Moses had no idea in this moment that after his death, and he didn't go into the promised land, by the way, spoiler alert. Moses didn't see, you fast forward, that when Jesus, the Son of God, is on earth and he's up on a mount, that Moses and Moses didn't know he was going to visit God, the Son of God, on this earth in that Mount of Transfiguration. He didn't know he would be the one chosen. Think about that. He knew nothing. It's like when you get into marriage, you know nothing. It's like when you have a kid and you're like popping some balloon that's blue and pink and you think you know what it means to be a parent. Listen to me now. You don't know what you don't know until you don't know until you never know. There's so many things in my life and your life that we've said yes to, let's just be honest, that we couldn't see it, right? You couldn't see the blessings. You couldn't see the burdens. You couldn't see the sicknesses. You couldn't see the abandonment. You couldn't see the isolation. You couldn't see the abuse. Like, you couldn't see it. But you know how you get through it? You just keep being faithful to the one who sent you. I don't know what's going on in your world, but I know it's not always easy. And I know the only one that can get you through it is the one that called you. And the Lord said to Moses and Midian, go back to Egypt, for all the men who are seeking your life are dead. So Moses took his wife and his sons and had them ride on a donkey and went back to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the staff of God in his hand. And the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do before Pharaoh all the miracles that I've put in your power. Then it says this, but I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. There's three different passages in the book of Exodus that it talks about the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. One is right here in 4:21, and it says God hardens his heart. In chapter 7, it says the words that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. And in chapter 8, it says his heart was hardened. It doesn't tell us who. But here's the thing I want to explain. What's it mean to have a hardened heart? All of us understand this in the room. This is how we understand it. In your life, in my life, when I'm about to do something dumb, there's this thing called the Spirit of God that convicts me. Even when I wasn't walking with Jesus, the Spirit of God is everywhere. It's called a conscience is what we call it in this world. And it keeps us from doing the really, really dumb things. And when you journey with the Lord, then the Spirit lives inside of you. And when I say yes to what I should say no to, or when I do the thing I shouldn't do, the first time it happens, you can just nod your heads. You with me? It's like, oh. It's like you feel dirty. You feel broken. You feel like, especially if you know him, you feel just disconnected. Like he won't even want to touch me. He won't want to look at me. And in that moment, if we repent and turn back to God, our heart stays fresh. Our body doesn't get used to the pain. But if we continue down this road of sin, we continue down this road of objectifying people. Remember a spirit of a slaver? We can continue down this road of brokenness. You and I both know that it's not that the Lord's not trying to convict me, but my skin gets tough enough. My soul gets hard enough, my conscience gets dull enough that I don't feel it. Now in that, who hardened whose heart? God is still sending the conviction. He's still saying no, but the heart is hardened in your life and in my life because of the repetition of our brokenness. Now the beauty is he never stops doing what? Chasing. It's why for some of us in this room, or for me in this room, I'll just speak of me. There is things that I have read hundreds of times. There is conversations I've had with my wife thousands of times. I've heard hundreds of sermons. And all of a sudden I'll hear something and I'll say to some, man, I'd never heard that before. And they look at me like, I've said that to you like 25 times. You can just nod your heads on that, right? I don't understand the soul and the heart of man or the heart of woman. I don't get it. But I know this, that if I'm willing to look at myself and chase after Jesus, if I'm willing to look at myself and my brokenness and say that I'm sorry, all of a sudden the numbness starts to go away and I start to feel again. So many of us in this room are just numb. We're numb to God. We're numb to our spouses. We're numb in our singleness. We're numb in our workplace. And I'm telling you, God has not created you to walk in this earth numbing yourself through it. He's called you to walk in this earth with sensitivity so you know how to what? To love him, love people. It goes on. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my firstborn son, and I say to you, let my son go, that he may serve me. If you refuse to let him go, behold, I will kill your firstborn son. He tells him of the last plague. He says, in the end, it's going to come down to this. If he is willing to let my children go, he's willing to let this nation go. And why does he want the nation to go? One's because he loves them, and two is he wants the world to know he's real. That's why the plagues, remember, don't forget, why all the plagues? To show the world he's king, he's God. Why does he want them to know? Because he wants them to find life. And so he says, I want them to go, but if you won't let my kids go, you've already killed thousands and thousands and thousands of my children. And this is what he says. If you will let them go, guess what? You get a, like, I'm not punishing you, Pharaoh. He gives us a choice. Will you listen to me? Will you follow me? Will you surrender to me? And if you say no, you deal with the consequence. If you say yes, you deal with the blessing. At a lodging place on the way, the Lord met him and sought to put him to death. What? What's going on here? See, there's a bunch of time that happens, I think, between verse 23 and 24. There's at least a conversation God has with Moses that we don't know about. Because guess what? Moses just said this. God just said this to him. And then he says this in verse 24. At a lodging place on the way. This is the PG-13 version of the sermon. So if you have someone under the age of 13, hand them a phone quick and turn the sound off, right? No, it's okay. Here we go. It says, at the lodging place on the way, the Lord met him and sought to put him to death. So the Lord was upset with him. It wasn't that God tried to kill him. The English doesn't translate it right. It's like, basically, God was upset with him. God was like, he had, at his last straw, like, Moses, come on, man. Then Zipporah took a flint and cut off her son's foreskin and touched Moses' feet or his outer self with it and said, surely you are the bridegroom of blood to me. So he led him alone. And it was then that she said, a bridegroom of blood because of the circumcision. So Moses, we can't forget this. It's not just about Moses. It's not just about his kid. The reason why Moses needed to be circumcised, the reason why his son needed to be circumcised is it was the identification marker of a covenant or relationship with God. The purpose of God delivering the Israelites was to show the world who God was. The truth is that the Passover meal, like if you really translate it down to the bottom, it's like the meal of the circumcised, the meal of those who've given their life to me. And so because the fact that Moses hadn't done this with his son, basically God's saying, okay, with your mouth you're saying you're going to follow me. You'll throw down a staff, but here's the deal is, I don't just want your words. I just don't want your staff. I want the most intimate places of you. Hey, family, when we say we surrender to God, he wants all of us. It doesn't make any sense, really. Like, God, why circumcision? Why not everybody cuts their nails short? Why not everyone has a certain hairstyle? But I think it's important for us to realize here, the purposes of God is to show the world who he is. In your life, if your relationship with God is just about you and God, you're not fulfilling the purposes of God. He gives you grace to extend grace. He doesn't give you grace to sit in it. It also is, it's like when Moses comes up, don't forget this, when Moses comes up on the burning bush, what's God say to him? Take off your sandals, bro. Anything between you and me needs to be gone. He throws the rod down, and when he throws the staff down and he grabs it by the tail, it's not only to distinguish that he has power over the Egyptians, it's also to say, Moses, it's time for you to walk away from your past. Like, you are my child now. You're my people now. And it's time for you to recognize, no, the snake, the cobra, the sign of Egypt is no longer your sign. Now your sign is humility. Your sign is the awesome power of a Father in heaven who loves you. And it's going to be a staff. It's going to be the most humble instrument known to man. And Moses, I want the most intimate parts of you because I love you. See, why does God want the most intimate parts of us? Because the intimate parts of us are the hardest things to give, and they're the things that allow us to hold on to all of our pain, all of our anxiety, all of our stresses, and all of our worries. I don't know about you, but the things that keep me up at night, or the things that wake me up in the middle of the night, or the things that wake me up in the morning, those are my intimate things. And if I can give God access to those, I start to find freedom. It goes on and says this, by the way, why did Zipporah say those things? She was mad. And she had a right to be mad. Because her husband's supposed to lead a nation out of Egypt, and the husband can't even lead his own family. I had a guy once who wasn't loving his wife and kids very well, and I've been that dude before too. And he was telling me all the things that God was calling to do, and I just said, how's your wife? Well, and he just gave me a list of things that were wrong. I said, bro, here's the deal, is how about you come back to me in 6 months after you have a relationship with her and a relationship with your kids that's like something to talk about. You got to touch first base before you go to second now. We talk about awkward relationships. You know why most of our relationships, they get better because we're willing to chase them, fellas. I'm going to talk to you for a second. We chase them. We try to discover who they are. We try to discover what makes them tick. We ask them questions. We think about it when we're at the gym. We think about it at work. And then when we have the relationship and we're with them, we're one, we're married, we're together, we're living together, whatever it is. And then we just get comfortable and we stop chasing. And then the relationship gets awkward again. you want to have intimacy with someone, it takes work. It just doesn't happen. It's not because you have it in one moment, you're going to have it in the next. How do I know this? Because I've been the dude that stopped chasing. And I'm telling you right now, I'm going to chase that girl now till my feet fall off, because it's worth it. But in order for me to keep chasing, I've got to recognize my own sinfulness, stupidity, and my own selfishness. And it's the same with the Lord, ladies. It's the same with the Lord, men. It's the same with the Lord, kids. Chase him. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be open. It's a crazy cool thing. Then it goes on and says this. Then the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. So he went and he met at the mountain of God and he kissed him. Why would they kiss each other in this moment? Let me tell you why. If you know that you got to go in front of the Pharaoh and risk your life and the lives of others, and everyone's going to think you're crazy, everyone's going to think he's crazy, and Aaron finds out from God in a different way than Moses does, and Moses knows Aaron knows, and Aaron knows Moses knows, and when they show up on that mountain and they actually, the other brother shows up, it's like, whoo, I ain't alone. It's God winking at him. It's in your life when God calls you to a relationship or he calls you to a friendship or you stand up and say the thing that needs to be said, then all of a sudden someone stands up next to you. You're like, there's a bond between the two of those people that is indescribable. I've watched it on teams. I've watched it in life. Is if I will go do this and you feel called to it, and the next thing you know, you see thousands and thousands of people now in Champaign-Urbana on the same journey. Hear me say, I want to kiss you all on the mouth because you ain't alone no more. The cheek, some of you. But are you with me? It's like the first time you walk in this room and think, well, this has like been on my heart. This has been on my soul. Like I'm not alone on this journey. Like you actually want to help people? You actually really do love God and love people, and you're willing to like, you know, this like grace that we all needed, that there's not someone better than someone else. And it just is true. And all of a sudden you find someone else that knows what's true, and it's like it becomes what just feels like home, even though we all come from different places. That's what it's like to have brothers and sisters in Christ. It goes on. And Moses told Aaron the words of the Lord in which he had sent him to speak and all the signs that he had commanded him to do. Then Moses, verse 29, and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the people of Israel. Aaron spoke all the words that the Lord had spoken to Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. And it says this in verse 31, and the people believed. Imagine the emotions that Moses and Aaron felt in that moment when they looked at him and they're like, we're with you. Those of you in this room who've led people, whether it's your family, whether it's a friend, whether it's a team, whether it's a business, whether it's a school, you know the vulnerability of saying something and not knowing if they're with you. And you also know the beauty of when they latch arms with you to do it. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel and that he had seen their affliction, imagine for over 400 years they've been in slavery. For over 400 years, they've been waiting for this moment. And all of a sudden, Moses, the first time with his sword, with his armor, he kills a dude. He says, follow me. They're like, nah, we're out. But this moment, 40 years later, he comes as a humble shepherd. And Aaron comes as one of their people. And they stand before him and they cast the vision of what God wants to do. For the first, they say, I feel seen. Ever not feel seen? Ever feel like you're alone in the pit and you can't get out? Hear me say this, God sees you and he sees me. And he is offering his arm to lift you out, just like in this moment he was reaching his arm down to lift up his firstborn son, all the boys and girls that are part of the people of God. And he was ready to do what? He was ready to pick them up, to pull them out. And how do they respond to that? It's the way that all of us respond to it. I'm going to read it again. And he visited the people of Israel and that he had on their affliction. They bowed their heads and they, what? Worshipped. Do you know what the reaction is to truly believing God exists? Worship. The moment in your life you recognize, whew, he sees me. He saw me in my darkest moment, and he was there. He saw me when I was abused. He saw me when I was the abuser. He saw me when I was hurting. He saw me when I was successful. He didn't love me more here or love me less then. And when you know you've been seen by God, and he loves you, and he's offering you life, all you can do is worship. And in this moment, what he's doing is he's building the faith of Moses, he's building the faith of Aaron, and he's building our faith. See, what God promises, like if you look at this, like here's how I know God sees you through the Old Testament and the New Testament. There is this moment in time when Jesus goes to a cross, right? He comes in wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. He ends up on a cross. He lives a perfect life. And on that cross, you and I find freedom from our sin. Like sin no longer holds you and it no longer holds me. And so when I surrender to the cross of Christ, when I say, Jesus, please take my sin, I am no longer bound or held or oppressed. Satan can no longer accuse me. I am free. That's what happens at the cross. And when I realize that, that's worth a mm-hmm at least. That's worth a yeah.
That's worth a thank you, God. That's why we worship Him for what He's done on our behalf by sending the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, God so loved you, that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. If you have questions about having a relationship with God, you can call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. The message you just heard was by Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church. And if you missed a portion of the broadcast, it's archived at greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab. Now, on tomorrow and Wednesday's additional Mark and Friends, we're going to look at struggle when you don't understand, part of a series by Rick Warren, How to Get Through What You're Going Through. And this is the third week on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. We're looking at various topics. So I hope you can tune in at the same time tomorrow and Wednesday. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.